hard because we don't have a regular time to get together, and the sugya is such a big sugya, and the point, the nekuda pnimis of what we're learning, really needs some consistency in being able to work it through. We'll try it. Last time I think was Parshas Vayetze. It's already a long time. That week of Parshas Vayetze, we were talking then about the responsibility, on the one hand, of the mashpia, of the Rebbe, the Rav, a parent as well, the responsibility to maintain the Mikdash Pnimi. I'm sure some of you remember that Mikdash Pnimi, that inner Mikdash, that sanctuary, where the Torah says, Mina Mikdash Le'etzei, not to leave that Mikdash. The din of the Kohen, we spoke about that in Avodas Hashem. That on the one hand, the Mashpia, the teacher, the Rebbe, is out there in the world. He's trying to change communities, to build the yeshiva, to build lives. But in the process, he might lose himself. It's very easy to lose oneself. And we were talking about how back then, it was already months ago, before Hanukkah, how Hashem Yisbarach told Yaakov Avinu to come into that quiet, hidden world, turn out the panasim, the lights, and come with me into that mikdash of who you are. Because in order for you to change others, you first have to discover yourself. One of the major problems we have now in the world of chinuch and rabbanis and chazor v'tshuva, kiruv, and so on, it's not that there aren't qualified people. There are qualified, intelligent, well-educated people. But they're not really able to hear others because they're not attuned to the voice within themselves. So the koach of hashpa has to begin with min hamikdash l'yetzei, and throughout the years, the mashpia must find that time in his life, that even place in his life, which is the mikdash of who he is. Or else, in a relatively short time, he'll come to the conclusion that it would be better for him to be in a better paying position, profession, and he won't be damaging people's lives the way that he does, chalila, if he does not have that mikdash. Now, in order to understand this, we're going to have to enter a little bit more into the world of Rav Kook. You have two pages. First, on the bottom, you see the one is from the Aris HaKadosh, that's with very big letters. The other one is with small letters. On the bottom of that page, you see where it says Agrim Chalap, Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap, but this is the one with the small print. The piece on the bottom. Yeah, it says Agron Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, of course, was Rav Kook's greatest Talmud. And what he writes here is really a description of his Rebbe. Yesod Osher Chiyuso Hapnimis Sharabeinu HaKadosh. The Yesod, the foundation of that great Osher, Chiyusa HaPnimis, the inner vitality in life of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, of Rav Kook, Hoya Mikdosho HaPnimi, was that inner sanctuary, was that Mikdosh HaPnimi that Rav Kook always went back into. Al Yidei Oz HaPnimi, with great inner strength, Hoya Dovuk B'Dveikus Emes B'Chaye Olamim. No matter what Rav Kook was involved in at the time, Hayadovuk b'dveikus emes b'chaye olam. He was dovuk every second of his life, b'dveikus emes b'chaye olam in Hashem. V'gam chelak hanigla shabo. Now, even the chelak hanigla shabo, even the revealed part of his life. Now, Rav Kook was a very public person. very, very public person. Hamon Rabbi Shel Hapulos Agdolos VaKabiros. He was involved in tremendous, an unbelievable amount of projects. He was the first he was the Rav, of course, of different Kehilas in Europe, and then of Yafo, and then he was the Rav of the whole Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael. Tremendous, tremendous responsibilities. It's hard to believe that one man was able to accomplish as much as he did. So Hamon Rabo Shel Hapulos HaGdolos VaKabiros Rive Revovos HaChasodim HaTovim Shepolim HaKlal V'Maprat. The Rive Revovos, the countless kindnesses that he was involved in, helping the Klal, the community, and individuals. Alfei HaDroshos VaNeumim HaNilhavim, thousands of droshes every year, thousands of droshes. Nilhavim with lislavos. Okamochein hitziasvuso lifnei nagidim besarim. Not only that, Rav Kook really represented, more than any other single person, you could say that he represented the Jewish community of the Yishuv before the establishment of the state. And therefore he had to speak to ministers and to governors and public officials to represent and to seek help from the British mandate. He was generally considered to be the most respected person by the British mandate, and he had to represent us. But Rabbi Kamesha, who knew him better than anybody else, Rabbi Kamesha writes, Hakol haya, it can't be no da, it's noveya, it must be a base. Hakol haya noveya, everything in his life was flowing from one place. Noveya is the word to flow, was coming from. Hakol haya noveya ach virak miton matzpun mitoich matzpun kodesh. Everything he did in his life, all of his public acts, all that he did with non-Jews in representing the Jewish people, all of his drushes, all of his speeches, everything haya noveya, it came from one place. It was flowing ach virak mitoch maspun kodesh, from the holy inner conscience of who he was. We're reading the last piece on the page with the small print. Chelik hanistar shabo. Rabbi Yaakov is saying is that the truth is every single one of us lives a chelik nigla and a chelik nistar. There's that revealed part of who we are, and there's the inner hidden part of our lives of who we are. What Rabbi Yaakov says that was unique about Rav Kook is that no matter what he was doing, everything that he did was coming forth from that inner mikdash, from that matzpun, from the inner essence of the self. Whether he was saying a drasha, whether he was giving a shir, whether he was talking to a minister in the government, whether he was running to free somebody, to get somebody out of jail, whether he was knocking door to door to raise money, to speak to people about raising money for the poor. Whatever he did, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says, Hakol haya noveya ach v'rak mitoich matzpun kodesho. Chelek anista shabba. Now, can a regular person live this way? You know, when Rav Kook said good morning to you, that's what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says. When Rav Kook said, how are you? It wasn't like, stam, how are you? It was, how are you? It came from that place, Matzpun Kodesho, from the Mikdash Apnim. Everything was from the Mikdash Apnim. I met one of Rav Aryeh Levine's grandsons, and I was talking to him about the Gedolim in Yerushalayim that he saw when he was a young person, that he heard from his father and from his grandfather about Tzaddikim Yerushalayim. And I asked him, who did his grandfather, Rabbi Aryeh, hold to be the greatest, the most unique? And he said, without a question, that Rabbi Aryeh held Rav Kook to be unique among all the Gedolei Yerushalayim at that time. I'm not going to go through the names, I think you know who we're talking about. And he said that one thing he remembers his father talking about Rav Kook is that every moment he was Rav Kook. There were others that there were Gedolim in certain things, in certain areas of life, in learning or in chesed, whatever. But he said every single second Rav Kook was Rav Kook. Everything about him was Rav Kook. By his levaya, his wife was crying, the Rebbe was crying, guf kodesh, a holy body. Guf kodesh. Now, a wife knows better than anybody. There are no chachmas. Guf kodesh. Now, if you look at the first piece on the page here, on that same page, from the Shlach Kodesh, in Torah Shebichsav, Parshas Kisava, Odbosi Lagalis Inyan Echad Beposik Vahalachta Bedrochav. Now remember, each one of us has a chelik nistar and a chelik nigla, a hidden and revealed. The tachlis that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe was describing in Rav Kook is that the hidden part is so great, is so powerful, that it overflows into every single thing that he does. This is the hardest, the most challenging responsibility of a person who wants to be a Rav, to be a Rebbe, to be a Mashpia. And by my teachings, by the way, I'm not suggesting that I'm in any way successful at this. We're talking about it together. The hardest thing is to be able to be out there every day. One of the Rosh Yeshivas from here was a very special person, a very chashuv person. The other day, he pulled me aside at a simcha and was telling me, he wanted to talk to me a little bit about how he feels that his Mikdash HaPnimi is drying up. And everybody feels that from time to time. That the inner Mikdash is dry. He himself doesn't feel inspired, and he's trying to inspire others. He himself does not feel a certain connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yet he spends his entire life trying to convince others to have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very, very painful and difficult challenge to face in life. Now, the Shalach Kodesh says the following. Now, everybody here knows that the Pasuk V'alachta B'drochav is the main source in Halacha. It's in a number of places in the Gemara and Shabbos and other places. It's the main source in Halacha, and it's the Rambam brings that at the beginning of Sefer Mitzvahs. V'alachta B'drochav is what? Mahu Afata. V'alachta B'drochav means Mahu Chanan, right? Mahu Rachel, Mahu Chanan, and so on. In other words, our responsibility, it's a mitzvah deraisa, to try, as to the best of our abilities, to kivyochel imitate the Bari Olam. Mahu Machnes Archem, and so on. So the Shalach Kodesh says, Bosi Lagalis in Yinechad Baposuk Valachta Bedrochav, She Yir Mois Mamish Ala Halicha, She Yabederach Bavo, She Yabarach Bavo, Ubarach Betseisa. Now the Shalach Kodesh is explaining in Kisavo, Baruch Ata Bavo Echa, and Baruch Ata Betseisecha. When you come in and when you go out, coming in and going out, there's times in life where we have to go out. We're trying to change others. We're trying to influence others. We're trying to teach others. That's Baruch Ato B'Tzeisach. And there's Baruch Ato B'Vo Echa, returning in. So the Shalach Kodesh says, V'yir Mozal Zeh, Baruch Ato B'Vo Echa, Baruch Ato B'Tzeisach. That you go out one way and you have to return, you'll run seven ways. The Shlomo writes the following. Since we are obligated to resemble Hashem as much as we can, as it's possible. He says a shocking thing. Mahu nistar v'nigla, most likely it's nistar v'nigla, just as Hashem, we experience Hashem in two ways, or Hashem exists kivyochel in two ways. One is that unknowable essence of who he is, that's the nistar, and the other is the nigla, that which he reveals about himself, his midas and so on. Dahainu, nistar mitzad mahuso, Hashem is nistar mitzad his mahus, the Shalach says, mitzad the essence of who God is, he's hidden. But v'nigla mitzad pu'uloisov, but he's revealed mitzad pu'uloisov, what he does, that is nigla, that's revealed to us. So the Shalach says, kein tzarech ha'odem lios nistar mitzad mahuso, so each and every one of us must be nistar mitzad mahuso, must live a hidden life. Mitzad mahus of who I am, of the essence of who I am, is nista mitzad mahuso, dahinu, Mailas his bodedus, she is bodet ha'odam. And that is the maila of his bodedus. She is bodet ha'odam, that every single person, no matter what he is, no matter what he does, must have time where he's misbodet, where he's by himself. Rabbi Nachman spoke about learning how to be misbodet even when you're among many, many people. Even when you're in the middle of a room with filled with people, to be able to be misbodet. But the Hainu Maila says, she is bodet ha'odam via parush min ha'kol, that a person must be parush min ha'kol, rak yis yachid imkono, to be alone with Hashem is baruch, via nistar mikol ha'odam, and in that way, of who he really is, be'emes, his mahus, to be nistar mikol ha'odam, just like Hashem, is nistar mikol ha'odam, the Shalosh says, as I have written about the great Maila of his Bardus in other places. There are people who think that Rabbi Nachman discovered his Bardus. That's not something that he discovered. It was the essence of his Torah, but certainly not anything that was not discussed at length in all the Svarim before. And in that Migdash HaPnimi of who he is, he's Dovuk to Hashem. Mitzad the Mahus of who he is, to be Dovuk to Hashem. The Enigla Mitzad HaPu'ulais. And he's Nigla Mitzad, the person has to be Nigla Mitzad HaPu'ulais. Mitzad the Pu'ulus of what he does, of his practical day-to-day life, of what he does in this world. Lifal Toiv Ba'achrini, to do good for others. Lifal Toiv Ba'achrini. Kagon Leilech Ben Rabim V'Yechidim, to go among groups and individuals, l'labdim Torah, to teach Torah, ulay chicham, to give Musa, v'ligmal chesed imahem, and to perform acts of kindness with people, v'lasas kiddush Hashem b'rabim, and to make a kiddush Hashem b'rabim, k'mo shekasaf l'elba pashis pinchas, v'kasha nigmar ha-mitzvah, and when this person, the mashpia, this rebbe, this rav, this adam gadol, wherever he is, kasha nigmar ha-mitzvah, and when he's completed doing what he needed to do, giving the shiur, or going to take care of that inyan that he had to take care of, azai yoshuv lehizbodedus shelo, he must return to the mikdash. He has to return to his hizbodedus. Lios nistar mitzad mahuso. To be nistar mitzad mahuso. Of course, the shelo is not suggesting that one doesn't talk to his wife and children. That's also part of being outside. But he has to return to that place of his bodhidus, lios nista mitzad mahuso. Lios nista mitzad mahuso. Now, look at the piece you have on the next page. It came out a little bit unclear, sorry. But we'll be able to read it together. It's from Oris HaKadosh Chelek Beis, page Tof Lamed Tes and Tof Mem. Oris HaKadosh from Rav Kook. It's a seminal piece. It's called Havdolah V'Hachlala, Separation and Inclusion. This is exactly what we're talking about. So, Mitzvah Shem, when you go out, and many of you have already started teaching, and you're involved in positions, part-time positions, Shabbos positions, you're going to see, and you're probably already seeing, it becomes much more complicated as the years go by, how to somehow manage these two kavim that Rav Kook speaks about, the kav of Havdalah and the kav of Hachlalah, or the way the Shlok calls the kav ha-nister and the kav ha-nigla. The kav ha-nister and the kav ha-nigla. The secret is being able to combine those two. That's how Rabbi Yaakov Moshe was describing the life of Rav Kook. And here, he writes about these two kavim. Shnei kavim ovrim lefanenu ba'adrochas aklal va'aprat. The two kavim, two lines, two ways that pass before us when we're trying to give hadrocha, when we want to give hadrocha to the klal, to the tzibur, va'aprat, and to the individual. And he calls them kav hamavdil and kav ha-mechaber. Havdolah v'achlolah, or kav ha-mavdil and kav ha-mechaber. the kav that separates, that divides, and the kav that is machaber, that joins and connects. So he explains, hakav hamavdil. What is the meaning of kav hamavdil? Hakav hamavdil hi hayiskansus haishis. Hayiskansus haishis means gathering and entering, gathering oneself up and entering deep into oneself. Hiskansus haishis, the personal hiskansus. Not gathering others together, gathering yourself together. Because you and I, as we are active in the world, become mefuza umefari. We begin to drift away from the Mikdash HaPnimi. So the kav hamavdil is hayiskansus haishis, the individual's personal ingathering of the self, returning to the self. Shehibo mitotzoas hashi'ifa lahashlomas ruchanis pnimis. The motive and the underlying longing that this person has, and that each and every one of you and myself must have throughout life, is a shi'ifa for shleimus ruchanis pnimis, for personal shleimus, to achieve personal greatness. Shleimus and ruchnius, shi'ifas and ruchnius. Machshavtis, intellectual greatness, and hergeshus, an emotional perfection and greatness, as much as each one of us is capable of. So that, Rav Kook says, can only happen when a person uses what he calls the kav hamavdil, the kav that separates him from everybody else, that takes him away, that draws him back into him, into his Mikdash HaPnimi. The she'ifas that he has to become great in Ruchnius, the she'ifas that he has to accomplish, and to become, in terms of his machshavas and his hargeshim, to reach shleimus, in order to do that, he must use the kav hamavdil. Umize gam kein tivis upulosis hamista efes mimena. And all of what this person then does, mize gam kein tivis upulosis, whatever he does by his nature, and whatever he does in terms of practical life to accomplish, hamista efes mimena. It must emerge, it must come forth from that inner essence of who he is, from the hiskansus haishis. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe was describing Rav Kook. In other words, there are some people that when they learn, they're very, very good at learning, they're very great at learning. When they daven, they're very sincere with their davening. But when it comes to doing things, their actions have no connection to their level of learning and no connection to the level of davening. They're two distinct and separate worlds. There's the person himself, that's the nista and the mahus, and then there's the nigla of what he does, or what he does in this world. With many people, those two have no shaykhis one to the other. You could have somebody who's sitting and learning the biggest sugyas and shas. He could be learning all kinds of sisrei Torah, then he goes home, he's the most horrible husband on earth. He's the most miserable father in the world. Or you could have the opposite way. There was an old song that we used to listen to back in the late 60s and early 70s, and one of the sentences was that I'm not the man I am at home. And there are many people who are not who they are. There's the tzad ha-nigla that you and I see, and there's the tzad ha-nista, mitzad ha-mahus. In a person's life, there are the pnimiyistic things that he's involved in to connect back to the mikdash ha-pnimi, to the mahus of who he is, to the essence of who he is, to the mahus. But then when it comes to what he actually does in his life, it's not coming from the Mikdash. It's not coming from the Mikdash of his life. The way that he speaks to his wife does not come from the Mikdash HaPnimi. The way that he takes care of business is not coming from the Mikdash HaPnimi. There's a terrible rift between the Nistar and the Nigla, between the Mahus of the person and the Pu'ulais that he engages in. That's one of the greatest tragedies of life in this world. The terrible discrepancy between who the person is and what the person does. What Rav Kook is saying here is that The kav ha-mavdali is constant that ishi shiubo mitotzos ha-shi'if l'shleimus ruchanis pnimus machshavtis v'aregeshus u'mizeh gam kein tivus u'polosis. By perfecting the tzad ha-nister, by being able to return whenever he wants to the mikdash ha-pnimi, remember it's boruch ata b'vorecha, boruch ata b'tzeisecha. That by being boruch b'vo'echa, in that inner world, through the bracha that he achieves, in that inner world in the mikdash ha-panimi, he has to then go out and be boruch ato b'tzeisach. He has to function in the external playing field of his life. Shirak ish ha-mailo b'hizbodeduso, that only a person who is great b'hizbodeduso, only a person who is great b'his bodeduso, in that private hidden world of the Mikdash, Hapnimi, Yuchal Hasiga can possibly accomplish this, can actually reach this. Litzaira of Liknosa. Exactly that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe was describing in the life of Rav Kook. That everything that he did when it came to collecting tzedakah, when it came to speaking, when it came to meeting with officials and so on, every single thing that he did was flowing from who he was. Was coming from that place of who he was. And Rav Kook says the only person who could actually live this way is the person who has the Kav HaMavdil in his life, who knows how to retreat into the Mikdash HaPnimi, who has that time of his Bodhidus. V'kol asher yarbu olav charveihu mischarbim, hinam oishkim menu asa oisher ha'elyon, shel habedida ha'atzilus. And the more friends that a person has, and the more that he's involved in, could very often, Rav Kook says, oishkimina, that could steal from him, that could take away from him. Ha'oishar ha'elyon shahabedida ha'atzilis. The great richness and joy of the bedida ha'atzilis, of noble isolation and loneliness. Rav Kook was writing all of this a long time before there was such a thing as texting and social networking and Twitter and tweeting and all of the other things, Facebook. Look at the sentence. Kol asher yarbu olav chaverim, the more chaverim he has, umischabrim, and people who are connecting to him or he's connecting to, hinam oshkim imenu, they steal from him. It's ha osher ha elyon shel ha bedida ha atzilis. Osher ha elyon, the supernal joy of noble aloneness. I don't know how to translate Rav Kook. See, I have to be a poet to translate. Nobody writes like this. It's not regular Hebrew. V'shetef ha-ma'ayan. And that powerful flow, that powerful current that comes from the wellspring ha-makir kol kach chayim elyonim, that values so much chayim elyonim, a higher form of life. Tahurim v'azizim, pure, vibrant. Kedoshim v'ne'etzolim, what happens to all of these connections and so many friends? He says, humizda'er umitztamtzem. The essence of the person is mizda'er umitztamtzem, becomes tiny, becomes mitzumtzem, constricted. The essence of the person loses a sense of his mahus, of who he is. And Nimela, what Rav Kook is saying is that as a result of that, how the impact that he can make on the klal and the prat is going to be very, very stunted. It's going to be very limited. Only the one who has that mikdash apnimi, and he goes out of the mikdash apnimi, and he's able to draw from the mikdash apnimi in his relationships with others, in his teaching, in his learning, and so on. And he's able to go back, Baruch Ato Bevoecha, Baruch Ato Bitseisecha, Bevoecha Bitseisecha, back and forth. What the Shlok calls the Chelek HaNigla, the Chelek HaNister. Only such a person, when he says good morning to somebody, it's completely good morning. It's filled with who he is, the good morning. Not like sometimes you'll be with people and you'll say somebody, like you didn't see them in 2 days, and say, hey, Matt, so great to see you. And if you quickly turn around, you see they're like in half a second when you pass by, they're like, there's nothing. It wasn't anything real. It wasn't anything real. Or like when you're at a symphony, you're talking to somebody, like while they're talking to you, they're looking to see what's going on. The whole thing is tamitzad enigla. There's nothing nist. There's nothing. There are other people that when you talk to them, when you're with them, you feel that you're talking to the essence of who the person is. You're talking to the mahus. You're talking to the etzem of the person. And what everything that person does, everything that person does in his life, it issues forth from the Mikdash HaPnimi, from that Mikdash HaPnimi. That's what Rav Kook is writing. That only comes when a person lives with a Kav HaMavdil, with a Kav that knows how to separate him. He knows how to separate himself from everybody. He knows how to separate himself from everybody and everything. If you have that itch with the phone and you don't know how to, and you don't know how to retreat, and I'm saying besides Shabbos, that a person does not have that time of the day where he's able to lay down the Kav HaMavdil and to be entirely to himself. And I mean even from one's wife and children. Which everybody, not to God forbid, to, you know, the girl used to live the whole week away from the family. We're not in such a madrega to be with the family, but to have a Kav HaMavdil of his bodhidus, then you're going to be very, very limited in what you could really do in the world and how much you could accomplish. You might be very talented, but in terms of really, really making a huge difference, the great people in the world, the great mashpiyim in the world, the great tzaddikim in the world, they knew always how to put down the Kav HaMavdil and to go back to that place of Baruch Ata Bivo'echa, returning home, coming back. And with the Korach that they received through the Baruch Ata Bivo'echa, then will be once again, they'll be recharged to go Baruch Ata B'tzeisach. Baruch Ata B'tzeisach. The greatest problem that you'll hear, the Rabbanim are talking about, and people who are in Chinuch, is that they're burnt out. There's some big fire somewhere going on. Everybody I talk to, everybody's burnt out. Everybody's tired. They're burnt out. They've had it. They're just burnt out. Yeah.
This separation can't happen during tefillah.
Tefillah is a very powerful time for that. Okay. Very, very powerful time. Very, very. It's the highlight in the life of a person who has a Kav HaMavdil, to have a time of tefillah. When you put the talis over your head, you must budge it from the whole world. Even though you're davening b'tzibur, a person has to know how to put the talis over his head and to disappear from the world. To be mamish, to be by himself with the Kodesh Baruch. Because a person burns out, he runs out of kaiches. He's running on empty. Everything is b'tzei sech. Everything is tzad ha-nigla, everything he does is b'tzad ha-nigla. And what happens to the tzad ha-nista? He forgets what the tzad ha-nista is. It dries up. There's nothing to draw from. The well is dry. And that's what that rabbi was telling me, that Rosh Hashiva was telling me the other day. He just feels that it's dry. He doesn't have any... It doesn't mean that intellectually he's not on the ball. He's totally on the ball. He's a brilliant person. He's totally on the ball. He hasn't forgotten his learning. But he's a very real person. He's a very sincere person. And he feels that the tzad ha-niglin, the tzad ha-nister, are not connecting anymore. And the words that he's speaking are beginning to sound empty. They're not filled with himself, with his essence. And once that happens, you might be able to still keep your job. But it's chaval. It's a terrible tragedy. It's chaval. Yeah.
Is there any fear of having an anchor identity and a tuple identity in your own view of yourself? Feeling like in the way the Shlomo was saying that persons, my mahus is the inner world, and they kind of go visit their pulos.
Right.
Is that not supposed to be, or are supposed to both be balanced? Like
it's not supposed to be equal, and certainly wasn't like that. It wasn't like that with Rav Kook. It's not. You're right. But the Shlach Kodesh is saying with Rav Kook, also, and we'll see in another piece, is that no, the Iker is the inner life of the person. That's the Iker. And we peek out, we go out, because Hashem wants us to. We were learning about that last year a little bit. Hashem Shabbat wants us to go out. Each and every one of you is being pulled in that direction. Hashem Shabbat very, very much wants us to be parents and to be rebbeim and to help and to give and to do for others, even if it's not professionally. But He wants us to go out from the Mikdash. But the ikur of the person has to be the mikdash. As we learned in the Rambam, that the Kohen Gadol is able to go out, he's able to go back sometimes to his house in Yerushalayim. He's able to go back into his house, but the ikur makom hayeshiva was in the Beis HaMikdash. That was where he lived. He lived in the Beis HaMikdash. He visited outside the Beis HaMikdash, but he lived in the Beis HaMikdash. The time that we're in now is most people live online, and every now and then, like by maybe by Ne'ila for 30 seconds, every now and then they visit the Beis HaMikdash. But otherwise, there's very little Aliyah L'Regel these days.
Maybe we'll talk about this and we'll push it off and so, but is there a challenge when a person is doing this and a concern that they'll wind up selling their tzibur short because they'll wind up being a little bit selfish? Like, I could prepare more, I could spend more time, I could give more, but my ruchniyah, where is that line for a person is obviously at some point deciding to start sacrificing a little of their ruchniyah to give to other people. So how does one continue to successfully give and give and give,
right,
without making it tiny, their own little mikdash?
That question occupies about 95% of my brain space. Every day of my life and well into the night as well. And I hack my wife about it. And I hack HaKadosh Baruch Hu about it. Yes, the biggest question. That's the biggest number one question. Eilu Dvarim She'elam Shir. We'll talk more about it, Mitzvah Shem. Every person is different. The key thing is to pick up on certain signals that you're losing contact with that world. You remember, I don't know if you were here when we learned the piece from the Chassam Sofer. In the Chassam Sofer's Sofer, but about the Chassam Sofer, the Hagdomat Yerodeya, Pituchei Chosam. If you haven't seen it, we did it together a little bit, but it's very important to learn the piece from the Chassam Sofer. But then the Chassam Sofer himself, it's about himself. That he went out, he ventured out more in the world that he really, more into the world that he really wanted to. But he found, he was writing about it and learning, but he found that Hashem Yisbarach filled in the missing places because he sacrificed himself for other Jews. So what? One of the great miracles that a teacher, a Rebbe, a Mashpia, hopefully will benefit from in life is that Hashem gives special points to those who go out and do for his children. Who go out and do for his children. I can't tell you, and I'm just sharing for a second, that over the years, how many times that I was not able to prepare for a shiur because I had to be Isaac in things like going to get a kid out of jail, simply things like that, or father beating up a son and trying to go break it up, things like this. And I have to, and as I'm going in the car, I'm thinking, I don't know, like, how am I going to give this shiur? I don't know, because this is an all-nighter, and I'm not going to have time to prepare this shiur, and I just don't know what I'm going to do. And then I'll try, I'll call my wife and say, I'm like in big trouble, so don't worry, it'll be all right. And then I'm telling you the truth, that 9 out of 10 times I found that those were the best shiur I ever gave in my life. I say to Hashem Baruch Hu, look, I thought I was going to have the whole, you know, night home to prepare, and I guess you want me to take care of this, and you're sending me to go bail this kid out or something. I didn't have a quiet day for a long time. Just that's how it was. I didn't have a quiet day, and there wasn't any time to learn, and so I had. So yesterday, because this week I wasn't coming in today, because I'm coming today tomorrow. So I was going to be home, and I was going to totally disconnect from everything. So I was going to just sit and learn for myself and for preparing for all the different shiurim and so on. And somebody was nifter, and it turned out to be a whole day inyan. It's a very difficult challenge when you're trying to do for others and you make sacrifices, but you feel that it's so much not only on your cheshbon, but it's on the cheshbon of the tzibur as well. Because you would like to be prepared for the shiur. That's also tzibur in you. The people coming, they're taking time off, they're going to hear a shiur, it's not to push it. People take off from their busy day, they're coming at night. You know what it is for a person to come, if the whole day work, he wants to hear a shiur. and you're not prepared. You're not prepared. That's also tzibur. And it's very, very hard to know. That's the question. At what point is my being generous with my time on the cheshbon of many other people that need me for hashpah? At what point is my generosity to be the nicest guy in the world? And I have a couple of friends like that they're like Shlomo Kalabachs, you know? The only difference is that Shlomo was only for like for the first 40 years of his life. That's all he did. And he had a photographic memory, so he was able to get by the rest of his life. I don't know when he was learning. He did chap time for learning, but he remembered everything he ever learned. But most of us are not like that. So, you know, he was the type of a person, Reb Shlomo, that even after being like 30 years going around doing all of his stuff, if you happen to want to talk about the Ketzais and the Nesivos, he said, oh, okay, let's go. And he talked about the Ketzais and the Nesivos. He was fine. But most of us can't do that. And it's on somebody's cheshbon. If I don't learn the Ketzais that night, it's going to be on someone else's cheshbon I'm supposed to be learning with tomorrow. So to know when to pull back and to know when that connection to the Mikdash HaPnimi is becoming so weak that it's mamish, your light is getting dim. And you begin to see that people are not being lifted up by your light because your own personal light is getting very dim. There are some people that they just never go back inside. I don't know how they can pull that off, if they can, bechlal, but most people can't do that. There has to be a kavah ma'avdil. And that's the whole purpose of this entire Torah that Rav Kook is sharing with us. That the tachlis of the kavah ma'avdil is not to make oneself, God forbid, into a selfish person. It's not to take you away from Hashem's people. It's just the opposite. The kavah ma'avdil is to make you somebody who's qualified to help Hashem's people. Because as I mentioned to you months ago, the ikar koch of hashpah is not when you know one piece of the Kedushas Levi and you prepare it and then you go and you say, you know, by the way, I just want to share this Kedushas Levi. And that's really the only thing that you know. The ikar hashpah comes when a person is so filled with Torah that wherever he goes in life, whatever he does in life, it spills over, it pours over. And whoever comes near him is like zapped by that Torah. As opposed to what happens with many other chevra, they don't really have that mikdash apnimi. They try to prepare two or three things, and then they do their best to like to stretch that as much as it will go. And just they don't really have that mikdash apnimi. There's only so much that they could impact people's lives. It's very limited. That's one of the things that Hashem does. That the mikdash apnimi, the inside world and the outside world, are connected to each other. And you might be able to fool people and say a fancy shiur because you got some Dvar Torah online. Like nowadays, you have all these people that, you know, they just find that, I guess there was websites for Dvar Torahs online, you know, something like that. I guess anybody could go look online for a million Dvar Torahs. You know, people now, they have to speak at a Sheva Brachos. They go to ShevaBrachos.com or something, and it tells them all the Sheva Brachos Torah they could use. And there are plenty of rabbis, but once they're ready.
Oops.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Sorry.
Finished? No, we're done. We'll continue next time. To be continued, thank you, sir.
Rough no all day.
I could, but I'm not. Okay, I'm not going to.
Mazdav on the Simcha Nachamah.
Thank you for all that you do. What's known, what's unknown.
That's a shame. We should be able to do things together in Yerushalayim.
Hey.
It's still recording as a password again.
You have to stop it. That business,
yeah,
you can't
stop.
Yeah,
because I don't know the password. Oh, no. I think this is Israel's phone.
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
So you had to get in touch with Israel?
Yeah, he usually hangs up upstairs, huh?
Yeah. Do you have his phone number?
No. This is his phone.
Oh, that's his phone, huh?
Yeah.
No way to turn it off.
It's not recording.
Maybe I can call. Maybe one of the other guys knows.
Because I think it's a lot.
You know the password?
Yeah.